Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm David.
And I'm Sherry.
We are talking today about something that we see a lot and we have touched briefly on before, but we see it enough, and honestly, I hear enough about it recently even, that we would like to do a little more in-depth information.
Right. Yes. Back in our episodes on addiction and comorbidity that happens with addiction, we talked a little bit about ADHD and how that can show up in addiction regularly.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really big comorbidity. You see it quite a bit. And there's a lot of reasons for that. So we wanted to go into some of those reasons. We wanted to talk a little bit about how that changes the landscape of addiction recovery, what's going to look different, and understand how that is going to change things.
Yeah, and we kind of want to present this in a way also that if maybe you haven't considered whether or not ADHD is a challenge for you or a spouse, the way we talk about this hopefully gives you a better idea of maybe there is something to think about there. And definitely right. In as much as you're in a recovery process or trying to get sobriety, ADHD being a part of this is going to make it very different. And right. So for yourself or a partner or loved one, we want to make this informative but also practical. And we're looking at, I'm imagining,
two or three episodes
on this. But
yeah, we like to deep dive. So
yeah.
I think it's really important to consider. It's something that really we should always be considering if there's addiction involved, because the comorbidity can be so high and it is such a big deal. So if you're trying to treat an addiction and you're not taking into account ADHD, if it is present, then the treatment is going to be a lot less effective. It can even be counterproductive in some ways. The different things that you're doing, you have to really be aware of that addiction connection with the ADHD and how ADHD is affecting that process of recovery. So there's a lot of reasons for that. Like if we're going to go really general, someone with ADHD is going to typically need a lot more structure, a lot more support, a lot more also flexibility, which sounds the opposite of structure and support. But there's really specific ways you have to do life a little bit differently if you have ADHD. And there's a lot of different things that come into play with that.
Yeah, and the idea again is just we want to be more effective. You can try to do a normal recovery process either way. Mm-hmm. We just want it to be as effective as possible. And if there is an ADD or ADHD, we kind of use both of those, right? If there is a diagnosis or you suspect a diagnosis or even just it's challenging for you, we can make a recovery process more effective by doing certain things. And they don't have to be big things, but little shifts can make it a better thing, a better process, better outcome. And that's what we want for you.
Right. Right. So we're looking at ADHD. What it is in general is, mentioned this before, it's not an inability to focus. It's an inability to regulate your focus. So where and how you're regulating it. So attention deficit is not actually accurate. It's the inability to regulate when and how you focus as effectively as someone who doesn't have ADHD. So what that means is you're going to focus because you have, I'm going to back up just a little bit and just say when David's talking about ADHD and ADD, and we're going to use those kind of interchangeably, it's because the DSM has changed things now. So the whole thing is ADHD now, and then you can have a subtype of ADD where you have more of a distractibility type of ADHD than a hyperactive type.
Right.
So, and again, if you're looking at research, if you're looking at all of the different aspects of ADHD, a lot of times you see women being diagnosed a lot more with the ADD type because of the they're more taught socially to not be hyperactive, so they mask that more, or they tend to show up with kind of that distractibility type. But men and women can have either, and so we're going to use those a little bit interchangeably today. Yeah. But as we look at what ADHD is in general, it is that inability to regulate focus, whether that's within a hyper realm or within a distracted sort of realm. And what you're missing is dopamine. So right there, that should ring a few bells for you when we look at addiction and the connection with addiction,
right?
Because that's what you're getting when you participate in addictive behaviors is more dopamine. And so that makes sense then, if you think about that, why people with ADHD are much more likely to have addictive tendencies, because they're running at a deficit of dopamine.
Yep. Which makes them far more vulnerable.
Yes. Yes. Because you're running with less than everybody else is. So you're kind of looking for those dopamine hits in life to try to bring you back up to more of a regular, regulated space.
Which you can see now why knowing this and accounting for this and planning and preparing differently in a recovery process will just be a lot more effective.
Yep.
Because you can't assume that the things that bring someone, you know, dopamine or even serotonin, just feeling good, is going to be the same for someone struggling with ADD or ADHD.
Yep.
And so it's good to know, and it's good to think about.
Right, right. So you're going to see with ADHD, you're going to see that dopamine-seeking behaviors, right? Whether that's with addiction or whether that's with more high-risk type of activities, whether that's like downhill skiing or mountain biking or, you know, just different things that are going to raise that dopamine level up and give you a little bit more stability with that high, trying to get the body back to a regulated space. Just in general life, you're going to see a lot of desire to go after the fun, the new, the novel, that is going to feed that dopamine space for people with ADHD. So they're really going to like doing those kinds of things. And when you get to mundane routine tasks that just have to be done, paperwork, those kind of things, that's going to feel awful. It's going to be really bad.
Impossible, right?
Yes, yes. There's just no dopamine in that space, and they're already running at a deficit. So it's like,
very hard to do.
Really hard to do. So thinking through the different types of things that you have to establish with addiction recovery, you're kind of probably getting a picture that you have to do things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So you also show up with impulsivity a lot more. There's a lot more struggle with executive dysfunction. And so you're going to be more impulsive if you have ADHD. Right. That means your risk of relapse is going to be a lot higher.
Yeah.
So you just have to be aware that that's going to be a thing.
Whereas someone might be able to feel the trigger or the temptation and use tools and get themselves some time. The impulsivity makes it a lot harder once triggered not to act out.
Mm-hmm. And again, all these things that we're talking about, they're supposed to be helps.
Yeah.
It's not an excuse to just like, right. Well, I'm impulsive. So, I'm
impulsive, so deal with it.
But it's also important, especially, you know, if you're a spouse of someone who is struggling with addiction and ADHD, it's important to recognize, yes, this isn't an excuse. But also it is something you have to be aware of and have some extra grace for.
Yes.
So it's really important to kind of find that balance. That balance is always tricky. So with the executive dysfunction, also what happens is it makes it harder to plan things in advance. It's harder to follow those steps. It's harder to stick with programs and things that you're supposed to do long term. Putting things into habit is really difficult.
Right.
For someone who doesn't have ADHD, they can kind of put this in the routine and they get it going and they're good. Habit and routine with ADHD is much more challenging. They have to almost like redo it like every day.
Right.
Re-establish, rethink through all the different parts of a routine every single day. It doesn't fall into that habit and pattern like someone without ADHD. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this.
And it's just and easier kind of flows. To stay consistent.
Yeah. Yep. Much easier to stay consistent. Whereas with ADHD, it's like, oh, wait, and then I'm supposed to do what? And then I'm supposed to do what? It's just a lot trickier to follow through with those programs and habits and routines.
And when you think about it, one thing that we talk a lot about is pushing through or doing hard things or do it anyway, or, you know, mm-hmm. this kind of terminology. But ADHD also, there's just a lower frustration tolerance, right? Mm-hmm. Which means it's harder to be uncomfortable. It's harder to endure discomfort. So if you have a routine that you're trying to establish, but it's challenging, for example, getting up earlier
or yeah.
Going to bed earlier, it's just harder because of your frustration tolerance. It's uncomfortable already for everybody.
Right.
But with ADHD, it just feels more than just yes. uncomfortable. It's even harder.
Yeah.
And important to use that when you're, and we'll talk about this later, establishing routines.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be even more sensitive to what are the steps that will get you there versus maybe trying to go straight there, because it
right.
would just be,
you have to work up to
it. Challenging. Yep.
Right. Absolutely. And again, this isn't like, well, just suck it up. Like, so you're more frustrated than the next person.
Right.
Right.
There's the comparison, right? I could do it or they can do
yes,
it.
Yes. There's literally a chemical difference going on that is working. You know, your dopamine is that motivation.
Yeah.
It's that like push through thing, you know, it's the chemical that helps us to do that. And so when you don't have that, it really is quite challenging, to kind of quote unquote, make yourself
yeah.
get through that discomfort. So kind of along with that low frustration tolerance, there's also more emotional dysregulation, right? You have that lower dopamine, so you have lower motivation. That's also part of depression, right? There's serotonin, there's dopamine that both go into that space. So you have more dysregulation because of that impulsivity, because of the executive function, because of that lower dopamine level. There's lower frustration tolerance and more emotional dysregulation. So there's more of a focus on all or nothing thinking,
yeah.
things like that. So you have kind of like everything's amazing or everything's really hard.
Right.
Right. There's not a lot of like in between as much. So things that is going to affect are, again, it's going to affect impulsivity.
Yep.
It is going to affect the likelihood, the risk of relapse. It's also going to intensify cravings triggers. Yep. It's going to make them way bigger. It's going to increase the likelihood of shame cycles and the intensity of those shame cycles.
Right.
So it really kind of affects everything.
Everything, yep. The things that are already hard for someone trying to work through a recovery process and establish sobriety are just all going to be dialed up.
Right.
Is one way to think of it, which hopefully on the other side of this, well, hopefully for both, really, more compassion, more love, more tolerance, more working with.
Yes.
This more is awareness. What's going to be necessary. Otherwise, it'll just be burnout and quit and give up because it's so hard and you're not getting the support you need.
Right, right. Another piece of emotional dysregulation is called rejection sensitivity dysphoria, RSD. And so you see that a lot with ADHD.
Yeah.
So it if you kind of break down what that is, rejection sensitivity, and then dysphoria is experiencing it outside of the realm of normal, basically. So it means that they tend to get a lot more sensitive to rejection. And that can be with other people, right? And like, oh, I just kind of walking around feeling like people are not as open to them, or if someone rejects them on a date or something like that, they're going to feel it more strongly. But that also then applies to the things that they're trying to do in recovery, right? How am I doing in recovery? And, oh, I didn't do a good job. And so it feels that rejection, that inability to do the thing that they're hoping to do is going to feel a lot stronger. That also contributes to those shame cycles, to partners that are not happy with what's going on. They're going to feel that more intensely.
And we're already, you know, we talk about chronic shame and low self-esteem. People who are stuck in addictive cycles likely already have, you know, chronic shame and low self-esteem. That's where addiction comes in and says, I can help. Or
right.
As we know, and we've talked, you know, a lot about addiction being an attempt to solve a problem. With ADD, ADHD, now you just have to consider that with chemicals being different, no wonder addiction is so compelling and interesting. Not only does it help you feel and cope for someone without ADHD, for someone with, it becomes far more attractive. And knowing that and having that compassion and taking a different approach will make the difference. If anything will help, this is the way you've got to do it. And
right.
So knowing about it and knowing if your partner struggles with this, we just want to do it a little bit differently if we can.
Yep. One of the other things that we also see with ADHD a lot is various levels of, it's called PDA, which is pathological demand avoidance. Which again, if you break that down, basically means that demands that are placed or requests even, which is far more likely, right? Requests that are made, there's a resistance to that that just comes as a natural part of the ADHD from some of the executive dysfunction, from the dopamine being lower. Like these are like tasks and someone is requiring this thing. So it's not something that's novel, new, like exciting, fun. It's like a drudgery kind of a thing. Nagging or just, I really need you to do this. There can be various levels of resistance to that, which can then make addiction recovery really, really challenging.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not that people are trying to be that way. They're trying to be disruptive or trying to be like standoffish or, it's just a part of the ADHD that can be present. So
really it's everything magnified.
Yes. Everything is magnified.
You know, your normal person is going to have
some resistance. Yes.
PDA,
like,
right?
I don't totally want to do all these things all the time.
Criticism or judgment is not easy to respond to for most of us anyway. But again, very important to be aware of just how much harder for ADHD.
Yes. Yeah. little more grace, a little more compassion, a little more awareness of like, maybe if we shift things and do things a little bit differently,
right,
as we're approaching addiction recovery, could make a lot of difference in how we move forward and how effective the addiction recovery treatment and process becomes.
And it just, you know, sort of forces you, if you're considering this for your partner, to really ask, you know, what are you hoping to accomplish? What do you want for them? Why are you doing what you're doing? You know, if it's out of anger, if you're in a protection mindset, we want to shift you into more of a reconciliation mindset and consider that if there's ADHD, we do need to, you know, do what's going to help them as best we can. So just really consider why you would be helping or why you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with ADHD, maybe just even more of a empathetic approach to putting yourself in their perspective, and that'll be best for them anyway. And we've talked about this a lot. So really, you could almost summarize ADHD makes all the good everything. Things you need to do even more important to do.
Yes,
it.
Yes.
And the need for your understanding of why this is hard for them, even greater. And so
right.
Please don't ever, especially with ADHD, take the approach that, you know, they don't care. They just don't want it bad enough. They just don't try. These kinds of things are going to get in the way of the relationship healing.
Right.
Or yourself.
If yeah.
You're being too hard on yourself, that you're not where you want to be.
Yes. If you're beating yourself up, if you're the person with ADHD and you're just really landing on yourself.
Yeah.
Right. It's just going to put you more into those shame cycles. It's going to lower the self-esteem instead of recognizing, oh, hey, I've got like things that are legitimately making this a lot more challenging for me to overcome, and I can have some grace for myself in that process. So just some things to consider as we're moving forward. We're going to talk a little bit in the next episode about what you can do now that we understand that ADHD makes a lot of this process a lot more challenging and we need more support and understanding and flexibility and doing things a little bit different. We're going to start talking about, okay, so what are we going to do different in a process of recovery if we're taking ADHD into account?
Yep.
And treating it simultaneously with the addictive process.
Yes.
So join us next time as we talk a little bit about that. See you then.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.